And I apologize if I keep drinking water. I think my voice is going out as I say that. Genesis chapter 3. Now, Genesis chapter 3 is kind of a big chapter, isn't it? Who can tell me what Genesis chapter 3 is? The temptation of Eve, or the fall of man, right? Better known as the fall of man. This is where the entire world changed. Now, we've been going over this in Sunday school over in the youth group. And whenever Adam sinned, did just man get affected by that sin? No, everything around it changed. So at this very point, okay, once they disobeyed God, the whole world, the whole atmosphere, all the animals, sin entered in. And then everything started to slowly what? Started to slowly die. Decay, die, okay? So it's a pretty important chapter, but I just wanted to point out this morning, I wanted to go through kind of the plan that Satan has to destroy us. I guess an easier way to say that is Satan's plan. Okay, so I wanted to focus on that today. And I think sometimes we underestimate the devil, don't we? We underestimate the devil a lot of times. Why? Because we get pretty selfish and cocky. Like, I read my Bible today, I can do no wrong, right? I prayed for at least 15 minutes today, I'm good. Okay? But I think we underestimate him. What does the Bible say about the devil? He is like a, what was it? A roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to get devoured by a lion. That's one of my big, on my fears. Drowning lion. Okay? Maybe burned alive, drowning lion. I don't want to get eaten by a lion. I don't like cats. But, so a lot of times we underestimate him. He's seeking us, trying to get us to walk away from God. And a lot of times, we think the devil's kind of just somebody who's out there to get us, but we don't really think that he's super smart. He's way smarter than we could ever imagine. He's smart, and he's just a lot stronger than we could ever imagine as well. We should never underestimate the devil. Let's see. So we're going to read the text. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle," or subtle, "than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruits, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat it, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much again for your word and for the knowledge and the wealth that we can get from it, Lord. And just thank you so much for giving this to us so we can learn and we can show others what we've been, Lord. I pray that you please help me as I preach now. Just please help my voice. Just please help me not to go out. Just pray for the listeners. Just pray they get something from your word today. Just please be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, my very first point in verse number 1 through 4, the first part in the Bible's plan to destroy us is that he makes us doubt God. All right, he makes us to doubt God. Now, this is no new revelation, okay? I'm just preaching a pretty simple message here, but it's true. He makes us doubt God. In verse number 4, it said, And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die. So Eve was like, God told us if we eat this fruit, we're going to die. You know, what was she thinking? Dead. All right? But the devil is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Okay, if you eat this fruit, you're not going to die. And then all of a sudden, Eve's head, she was like, a second. Is everything that I just thought I knew wrong? You know, did I mishear God? Did I misread something that he was saying or something? And right then the devil was like, I'm in. You know, I've got this. She doesn't know what God said. So the first thing he does is he makes us doubt God's word. If we aren't sure what God has to say on a matter, we give the devil a little more opportunity to make us doubt God. The devil can use the verse out of context to make you justify your sin. All right, you can, almost any sin, all right, you can take and you can be like, well, it's in the Bible. All right, and God kind of, you know, it's kind of a gray area. All right, the ones I think of is alcohol, of course, the big one. All right, everyone's like, well, the Bible says that you're supposed to not get drunk. Well, how does the verse go? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Right? So they're like, I can drink a little just as long as I don't get drunk. And then somebody used this one on me the other day. A little wine for the stomach's sake, or how does that verse go? Something like that, a little wine for the stomach's sake. So if you're sick, you know, you can drink a little wine, it'll help everything out in there, and everything will be all right. Okay? But I think they miss all the other verses that go along with that. I have one that's Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. How do you read the rest, all the ones that say, oh, you know, a little wine for the stomach's sake, and then read that and be like, hmm. It's because you don't understand. You don't know the word of God. That's when you start to doubt. Another one is anger. All right, who has an anger problem in this room? Yeah, I was going to say, probably everybody. It's easy to justify it because you look at characters in the Bible, and characters in the Bible got upset quite a bit. I think of Moses whenever he smote the rock instead of talking to it. And you can say, well, he hit it, but the water still came out. You know, so is it just a different way to do it? You know, he could have talked to it and the water came out, but instead he hit it and the water came out. Is that what God told him to do? No, God told him, speak to the rock and the water will come out. Okay, we can justify that. And then they don't look at the punishment, which was what? He couldn't go to the promised land. They skip that part. And they just focus on justifying their sin. I could keep going with this. I think of Hosea. Okay, Hosea, this is a weird book in the Bible, isn't it? You open up the book and you start reading and you're like, you married a harlot? What? Are we allowed to marry harlots and stuff like that? You know, and if you don't know the rest of the story, you're like, I can marry anybody I want. Saved or unsaved. Godly or ungodly. It don't matter. I can do it because it's there in the Bible. Okay, but what is that a picture of? The picture of Israel turning their back on God. But they don't see that. They just see, well, Hosea married whoever he wanted. So that means I get to do whatever I want to do. Right? I also think of King Solomon. King Solomon had a lot of wives, right? Wives and concubines. I mean, if he could marry all those wives and concubines, I can have, what is that called whenever you're married to two people? Polygamy. Alright? Why, first off, want to be married to two people? One is enough. Yeah. Alright? Her things will be packed on the out on the curb. Anyways, but what I'm saying is, if you wanted to, you could justify whatever you wanted to do. Okay, and that's what people do, and how the devil makes us doubt. Once we get into doubting God's word, it's all downhill from here. The rest of this message, I wouldn't even have to do if we just were firm in our belief of the Bible. If it doesn't start with doubting the Bible, then I don't have to go on to these points that happen after this. Okay, the snowball effect is going downhill and you just can't stop it. And the devil has he's made some doubt so much that they add and they take away from God's word. They start to think they're smarter than God. They're like, well, I think what God was trying to say here, and then you put in whatever you think. Is that right? How in the world... The process in their brain must be like, God knows absolutely nothing. I know everything. I'm smarter than God. How do you get there? And how do you go to a bookstore to buy a Bible and you pick out these other versions that literally take words that God said out? How do you do that? I don't know. And this is, I'm going to get in trouble here, but this is the King James Version. Okay? This is the perfect version for the English language. Okay? But again, people just think, well, I think God doesn't know what he's trying to say here. I know what God is trying to say here. Ooh. That's a scary place to be whenever you're, you know, getting tempted by the devil. So the first thing is, he will doubt you. And then the second one, in verse number 5, the devil discourages you. It says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The definition of discouraged is having lost confidence, or enthusiasm, disheartened. I got to drink some water. When the devil first came to Eve and asked if she could eat of the trees, she first had enthusiasm, right? You can kind of see it. You're like, oh, I can eat of all of these trees over here. And then, but I can't eat that one. And she's like, I'm fine with that. I have all these trees over here I can eat of, bananas, apples, pears, fruits you've probably never even heard of. Okay, she was so enthusiastic. But then once the devil pointed out that she couldn't have one fruit, once the devil pointed out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then what happened to Eve? She was like, oh, I can't have that, can I? She got discouraged, didn't she? She got disheartened by the term of the dictionary. She got disheartened. Whenever we are living a Christian life, there's so much that we can have, isn't there? There's so much that God gives us. And we take from God because he's giving us freely, but then we see something that the world has. We're like, man, is it really worth it? You know, yeah, sure, I have, you know, God loves me, listens to me, and he gives me everything that I have, but man, that over there, that looks pretty good. What does the Bible say about sin? It is fun for a what? Season, right? So whenever she's processing in her head, she was like, well, it's going to be pretty fun for quite a while because I'll get to know, I'll have the knowledge of good and evil. I'll be just as a God, he said. I think that's what he said, as a God. As God, yes. Ye shall be as God. And she's like, man, I could be like a God. You know, I could do whatever I wanted to. I know good and right. It is so easy for us to become disheartened and forget why we have to follow God's rules. It isn't because he's trying to keep us from having fun. Okay, we can obviously see that in our whole life. Whenever God has a rule set in place, there's a reason for that rule. And if we break that rule, usually bad things happen. If we get outside of God's word, you can usually see your life starting to decline quite a bit. Right? That's true in a lot of people. That's true in our lives if we watch out. So he'll make you discouraged. Number 3, the devil creates a diversion. Now, I went into this point here. But the devil was able to make Eve focus on things that she didn't have rather than the fact she was in the literal Garden of Eden, free from the consequences of sin and able to walk with God himself. So, like I said earlier, is there any place like the Garden of Eden? No, that was like heaven on earth, God said. All right, it was so beautiful, trees everywhere you could eat from. And yet, well, and God was there walking with him. Can you imagine walking with God, literally? Okay, whenever you say, oh, I was walking with God this morning. Yeah, okay, you were walking with God. Maybe on your knees or, you know, praying, reading your Bible. That's what we call walking with God. But they were literally walking with God. You know, maybe not hand in hand. I don't know how they did things back then. But walking with God through this most beautiful place on the planet. Okay? I think it's somewhere around Illinois. But it's pretty flat. I don't think God would have chose Illinois. But yet, she left all of that because she saw what the world could give. She saw what the devil could give her, right? Eve had to leave the most beautiful place. Adam and Eve had to leave the most beautiful place because they wanted what the world could give. If the devil can take our focus off of God's word and his commandments, he can destroy even the strongest of men. Again, I think back to Solomon. What were the four rules? Yeah, what were the four rules that the kings weren't supposed to have? Horses, wives, riches, and to not go back to Egypt. Right? And I wish I had that verse. But it literally says Solomon had many wives and he married the daughter of the Pharaoh. I'm like, well, I think that's going back to Egypt. If you're marrying a daughter of Pharaoh, that's pretty tough. Okay? Multiplied horses, he married the daughter of Pharaoh, had many wives, and was the richest person on the planet. Okay, now you think, that's the smartest man on earth. Oh, smart, wisest, smartest, I mean, that's the same word. Smartest, wisest. Okay? I'm preaching here, okay? You don't get to correct the preacher until afterwards. Alright? But no, he just had so much wisdom, you would think that he would be able to listen to a simple, you know, list that God gave him. Okay, but it's always that, ooh, I could have more than what I have right now. Kind of discontent. He was discontent with listening to God. So the devil will make you doubt. He will discourage you. He will cause a diversion. And number four, the devil will make you feel defeated. The devil will make you feel defeated. Now, how many of us have felt defeated in here? I've been pretty defeated before in my life. All right? Verse number 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He was defeated. After the devil caused them to doubt God, discouraged them, and diverted their focus, he was able to lead them to eat the forbidden fruit. Now, the devil did not make them eat the forbidden fruit. We have to choose to eat the forbidden fruit. Okay? That's something that while I was typing this up, I was like, and the devil made them to eat the forbidden fruit. No. We choose to sin. It's our fault. We can't blame that on anybody else. Later on in the chapter, you see that, well, my wife gave it to me. Well, the snake told me to eat it. You know, is that how it works? No. That's one of the reasons why men should not get married. Because the wife just destroyed everything. Oh! But anyways. She loves me. She loves me. But I lost where I was going with that one. You can't blame others for your sin. Okay? You have to take the responsibility for it. That's where I was going. Okay? Now, once they got that fruit, once they took a bite and he was like, wow, that's pretty good. Handed it over. He's like, oh, wow, that's really good. Maybe ate two or three more apples. Or who thinks it was a grapple? I think it was a grapple. A grape and an apple. A grapple. Anyways, once they ate fruit, okay, then all of a sudden their eyes were open. Now, don't you think they had a sense of regret? Because it says you're able to know good and wrong, good and evil, right? So once they've been in that, they're like, oh, no. I just sinned. What do you think the feeling that came inside of them once they took that bite? Because it said then sin entered in. So you have to think, they probably started getting a stomach ache like, oh, man. Yeah, my back's starting to hurt. I slept wrong, I think, last night. You know, or something. And they're like, I made a terrible mistake. How many times does that happen whenever the sin looks so good? You're like, man, that looks like so much fun. Okay, but then right after you do it, it doesn't even have to be, there's like 10 seconds. And you're like, man, I regret that. Man, I really wish I wouldn't have done that. Said that, done that, anything. That's what sin will do for us. They wanted the fruit so badly, and once they got it, they regretted taking it. They weren't prepared for the shame it had brought upon them. Now, I find this kind of interesting. Whenever you sin, okay, and let's say the next day you get up and you open up your Bible and you're just sitting there. You're like, man, I really don't think I should be reading my Bible. I don't feel worthy to read my Bible. Does anybody else do that? Whenever you start to pray, you're like, dear Lord, and then your mind automatically goes back to that sin that you just committed. And you're like, oh, is God really going to listen to me? Can God use me? Because yesterday, I just did the most horrible thing that I've ever done in my life. And you sit there for a second. This happens about daily for me. I'm like, well, I did a horrible sin yesterday, and I just don't think God's going to use me. So what I do is I don't pray, I don't read my Bible. Then the next day, of course I do the same sin over again because we're human, because we enjoy the sin. So then the next day it happens, and I get up and I start to read my Bible and I start to pray, and I'm like, man, I did the sin yesterday. God, just there's no way He can ever love me. That's what the devil wants you to feel. He wants you to feel that defeat. I know Adam and Eve were feeling this defeat because they hid themselves. They were like, I don't think I can face God anymore. You know, I can't look God in the eyes. You know, because God was right there with them. So they went and hid. Well, first they sewed fig leaves together. A lot of times we try to do that too instead of confessing our sins, don't we? I got these little fig leaves together. I'm going to cover up my sin, right? Does that ever work? No. Fig leaves are not a very good clothing material. Okay? Still pretty weird. But we try, and that's our best effort, if that was our best effort, to sew fig leaves together. That's not going to cut it, is it? Whenever we stand in front of God, what is God going to see? He's going to see everything. Okay? That's what happens whenever we get our sin. Whenever we finish doing our sin, we feel defeated. But something else that I find kind of interesting is God knew that they sinned. God knew that they tried to cover up their sin. And yet God still went and called for them. God still went searching for them. He did. First off, He shouldn't have had to search for them. Because they should have just came to Him and was like, God, I did this wrong thing. You know, forgive me. But that's not what we do either. It's easy to say that. We should just go to God, yes. But we don't do it ever in our life. We always are like, well, I can cover this up. If I just tell another lie to cover up that last lie, I'm set. Okay, but it never works out the way that you want it to work out. So He still came for them and made a way for them to be free from that sin. If you're currently hiding from God because of some sin in your life, just bring it to Him. How's the verse go? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He loves us. Something else I wanted to point out, I have to backtrack a little bit. We think that we can't be used by God, but sometimes we think others can't be used by God. Who has ever thought that? You know, they've done some bad things in their lives. There's no way God's ever going to forgive them. There's no way God can ever, like whenever you hear about somebody who's lived a pretty rough life, and I mean, the Alexanders. Brother Ted lived a pretty rough life before he got married, and he'll tell you about it. So if you grew up with him, or maybe you just, you know, knew him a little bit, you were going to church, and then he came to church and got saved, you're like, wait a second. I remember all the bad things you've done. All right, I saw all the things you just did, all the things you've done in the past. There's no way God's going to ever use you because you're just a horrible person. Don't we do that a lot? Don't we judge others because of the things that they've done in their past? Aren't you glad that God doesn't judge us on the things we've done in our past? No, just so I remember all of them. The devil will make you doubt. The devil will discourage you. The devil creates a diversion. The devil will make you feel defeated. And then lastly, the devil will attempt to delay us from fulfilling God's will. So the devil will attempt to delay. If we never get over the defeat of our sin, we won't be able to fulfill God's plan for our lives. Now, if you have repented from your sins, then God has promised to forgive. Like I said, And I think Garrett used the verse this morning. As far as the east is from the west. Okay, if you go east, you're never going to hit east again. Well, I guess you're never going to... You get it, okay? You can't ever hit west if you go east. And you can't ever hit east if you go west. Yes. Okay, anyways. That's how much God forgives us. There's no end to his forgiveness. Now, sometimes the devil has us convinced that God will never use us because of what we've done. Now, again, I say, if you knew all the things that everybody in here has ever done, who do you think would be here? Would you guys show up to church today if you knew the sins of everybody around you? I don't think I would be here. Okay? Just this morning, okay, as I was getting ready for church, it was early in the morning, I was trying to add stuff to my message this morning, and I went to copy and paste something over, a verse, and then my whole half of my message disappeared. And I was like, all right. So I went to the undo button, hit the undo button, and then a warning light came on. I was like, all right. So I hit okay, and it went off. Not the computer, but the screen. And I was like, all right. So I opened up the file again, and half of my message was gone, and I couldn't undo it. Now, again, earlier I said I have a little bit of a temper problem. So I got a little upset from that, okay? Just this morning, I already have sinned. I got upset. I was, oh, man, what am I going to do? Oh, man, I'm going to have to preach this from memory. You know? And there's my wife just sitting over there like, you know? That's how sinful we are. And I don't want to know your guys' sins, okay? I don't want you to know my sins because we think of each other differently. Okay? But God knows our sins, and yet he's still willing to use us. I think of the Apostle Paul. Okay, the Apostle Paul, what was his main thing? What was his main life goal before he got converted? Right. Yep. He was supposed to kill people that believed in Christ, put them in jail. Okay, did all things, martyr people. Okay? Now, do you think if Paul woke up the day after he got converted, and he was like, man, I've done all these horrible things. I killed a guy just last week, or I had him killed. I had him put in prison for something that wasn't even bad. Okay, do you think if he kept reliving that sin, if he kept thinking about that sin, do you think God can use him? No, because we're living in the past. We're living in what we've done, but God's like, I've already forgiven you. Get off of that sin. I don't even know what you're talking about, but you keep bringing it up. Leave it. I think Paul, who said he was the chiefest among sinners, because he knew what he'd done, but yet he used himself as an example for someone that could be used of God because of God's forgiveness. His grace, right. And just think if he would have just kept dwelling in that sin, how different our world would be right now. Think of all the things that Paul has done. Think of, and I'm, of course, you can get really big with this, but if everybody just gave up because of their past sins, none of us would be here. Okay, because you got saved maybe from somebody witnessing to you. And if that person was dwelling on their past, they probably would have never knocked on your door. They're like, God can't use me because I sinned. God has the power to use something broken and filthy if we are just willing to surrender our past sins and future to his will. God's like, I have a plan for you. We just sang a song last, the potter knows the clay. He knows everything about us. And he's trying to mold us into something that's beautiful, but we just won't let him. We just won't let him take control because, no, God, don't mold me like that because 2 weeks ago, I did something really bad. I don't feel comfortable doing that. And God's like, but you're going to be beautiful. Let me do it. You know, I can just picture God like just frustrated, like, just let me mold you. I want to mold you. And we're like, no, God, don't. No. Give me another week. What happens when clay, it gets all dried out, right? Then can it be molded? No. Then God has to reapply water, reapply everything else, He has to start over. So don't let the devil win. We need to be in our Bibles praying that God would help us to understand His Word. Again, I said that earlier, that if we are firm in our Bible, if we know what we believe, if we know what, you know, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I know the Bible, and I have these standards for a reason. Okay, where do you get your standards at in the Bible? They're like, well, there's a verse in 2 Timothy, I think. And they're just like, you don't really know why you believe what you believe. And the devil will attack that. He's looking for that opportunity for you to let down your guard. For you to be like, I don't actually know what says that in the Bible. Maybe I'm wrong. And the devil's like, all right, I'm in. Rushes in there and destroys your life. You look at all these people who had super high standards, you know, 10 years ago. And then you see them on Facebook or you meet them at Walmart. And they're completely different than what they were 5 years ago. And you're like, what happened? What happened there? Why did you change? Oh, well, I just decided that it wasn't worth it. No, it's because you didn't know why you had those beliefs. It's because you didn't want to put in the effort to actually know why you believed the things that you believed. So that's my encouragement to you guys, is to just know what you believe and why you believe it. It's one thing to believe one thing, but to know why you believe. Okay, have standards, but know why you have those standards. Well, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. I'll ask you to stand to your feet if you will.